During a Great Depression and a Great War, radio kept the country's spirits high and put a smile on its face. Never before or since have we enjoyed such a wealth of original comedy talent. Let's enjoy now some of the funniest moments from radio's golden yesterday.
Graham, my uncle bought a new second-handed car, you know.
What kind is it, Pete?
Well, I don't know. He calls it Daisy.
Why is that?
I don't know. It won't go any place without a rattle. I don't know. I hate automobiles, Graham.
Oh, you...
I do. They make people silly, I think.
They do?
I think so.
How's that?
My aunt was out driving Sunday. A policeman hollered at her. He said, "Hey! Don't you pay any attention to those red and green lights?"
Yeah, what happened?
My aunt said, "I saw them, but I thought the streets were still decorated from Christmas."
Chief, I have a tip I'd like to pass along to all motorists tonight.
What's that?
Fire Chief was made for instant pickup.
Yeah.
Thrilling speed and power.
Yeah.
That's the kind of action fire engines, emergency vehicles of all types must have.
Think of that, Claire. This is so silly, I don't even want to say it.
Well, tell me about it. Go on.
Well, the Texas company gave me a present last Saturday of
$200. They did?
Yes, they must have soaked the $200 and fired Chief Gasoline. Because I never saw anything go so fast in all my life.
Fire Chief Gasoline.
Do you mean to say that that's what we're selling?
Get back to work, will
you? Fire Chief Gasoline?
Yeah.
That's the first time I've noticed. I've been here 3 years. Are you isn't this a chewing gum program?
You can't chew.
Well, I've got nothing against the gasoline. I honestly haven't.
That's good.
But presently, I'll stick to my horse.
Oh, no.
My aunt loves horses, Graham.
She does?
Oh, she loves horse racing. She goes with me to all the races.
Is that so?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Last week she went to the doctor. She didn't feel well, you know.
Uh-huh.
The doctor examined her. He said, "You're all right, madam."
Yeah.
"But there's something wrong with your system."
That worry your aunt?
My aunt said, "You're nuts. My system's all right. I picked 3 winners yesterday."
Hello, Rudy.
Oh, hello.
You want to buy a duck?
No, Joe, I don't want to buy a duck.
Why?
Because.
Well, maybe your brother would like to have one, huh?
I haven't a brother.
Well, if you had one, you think he'd consider it?
No.
Under no circumstances?
Under no circumstances.
You nasty boy!
The show puts these bills up high. Yes, sir, they're really up. Hey, excuse me for protruding, mister, but ain't you got a hold of my watch chain?
Oh, your watch chain? So what does? Yeah, well, how you like that? Yeah, one of these solid gold cufflinks of mine must have hooked on your watch chain there.
It's lucky I done remembered what my grandmother told me before I left home. I got my watch chain attached to my underwear. As soon as I felt my BVDs creeping up on me, I knowed something.
Well, allow me to introduce myself, stranger. The name is Stephen. George Kingfish Stevens.
Kingfish?
Yeah, they called me that because I was the head of that great fraternity, the Mystic Knights of the Sea.
How you do? I is Andrew Hawk Brown from Marietta, Georgia. You see, me and my friend Amos Jones just got to New York, and we think about buying a taxi. I got $340 right here in my wallet.
Got $340, huh? Thinking about buying a taxi cab, yeah. Now, lucky you run into me, son, it just so happens that I got just the right car for you. Oh, I got it.
Yes, sir, Amos, there she is, parked at the curb, our new taxicab.
Yeah, well, I know this fella you called the Kingfish that you met give you a bargain, Andy, but the top of this thing is all sheared right off. Look at there. While you're driving, the breeze is going to come right in there and hit the passengers right in the face.
Well, now, that's all right, Amos. You know what we can call it? The Fresh Air Taxi Cab Company of America Incorporated.
Yeah, well, that's good, Andy. Let's start up the thing here and take a little ride. I want to hear that Stutz Bearcat engine, boy.
Yeah, let me open the door here.
Yeah, go ahead. After the Daisy, pick up the door there, Andy.
Throw it in the back seat. Now, let me get the thing started.
Yeah, start up. Holy mackerel, Andy. listen to that bear cat motor.
Yeah, it sounds like the bear is chasing that cat all around.
Andy, she's boiling over.
Uh-oh, there goes the radiator cap.
There goes the radiator too, Andy. Yeah. Look at that, Andy, the flame.
Yeah, let me out.
How do you do? Viva la Santé!
All Russian?
Yes, what do you want? What do you want?
All Russian?
Me.
Russian, I want you to meet the famous singer that's knocking them cold at Zero's.
This is Sinatra? No.
John, please tell him who you are.
I'm Sablon. I'm Jean Sablon.
I can see you're not John's other wife.
Russian, Mr. Sablon has recently come here from Paris.
That's my own hometown. Mr. Sabloni.
Sablon.
Why do you care? You're making a living.
Russian, tell me, where did you spend most of your time in Paris?
Not the Paris Brigade.
Yeah.
Did you see the balloon dancer?
Oh, yes. I was there that terrible night when the balloon broke. Everybody applauded but me.
Why didn't you applaud?
I didn't want to drop my slingshot.
Why, Russian, how could you?
Russian, you are nothing but an imposter.
You have insulted me, mind sure. And I challenge you to a duel. Choose your weapon.
Very well. Shotguns at four paces.
Okay. Shotguns at four paces. I'll meet you in Griffith Park at 4 a.m. And if I'm not there at exactly 4 o'clock...
Yes?
Start without me.
Hello, Mr. Bergen.
Martha Bergen.
Yeah?
I guess you've heard that Charlie and I have said goodbye.
You said what?
Goodbye.
Oh, okay, goodbye.
No, Charlie. You see, Charlie has quit me to go to work for another ventriloquist, the great Frederick.
No.
So, you see, you're all I have left.
That ain't much, is it?
But I have a feeling that you and I will stick together for good. How do you feel?
Oh, the feeling is mucilage.
Yeah. You know, Mortimer, you know the old saying.
Yeah. Pretty good. Yeah.
A friend in need is a friend indeed.
Well.
You know who said that?
Well, I ain't sure, but I think you did. Yeah.
Well, what I'm leading up to, Mortimer, is that do you think you can fill Charlie's shoes?
Well, what do you want me to fill them with?
Oh, no. Opportunity is knocking.
Oh.
You want to go somewhere, don't you?
I like it here.
You like it here, yeah. Well, I want you to replace Charlie, and if you're going to take his place, well, you'll have to be smart and sophisticated.
Oh, well, that's no use. You can't do that.
What's the matter?
No.
What?
So, you can't make a silk ear out of a sow's purse.
What was that?
No, I mean you can't make a silk purse in a pig's eye.
No. Well, I'm confident that you can replace Charlie if you try hard enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you're right, Mr. Bergen. I may seem dumb, but when I set my mind to doing something...
Yes?
It just sets there.
Yeah, it just sets there. Excuse me, Mortimer. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Bergen.
Yes, this is Edgar Bergen.
Well, this is Charlie.
Well, Charlie who?
Now, don't give me that Charlie who stuff. This is Charlie McCarthy, that's who.
Oh, yes, of course, Charlie. Well, I hope you're happy with your new ventriloquist. How is the great Frederick?
Oh, you mean Fred. He ain't so hot, brother.
Well, it's nice to hear from you, Charlie. And where are you calling from?
Well, you know where Main Street is? Right near Hickory?
Yes, yes.
Well, you know the corner where the hot shop is?
Oh, are you near the pawn shop?
Near it, I'm in it. Fred hocked me for $7.
In the pawn shop. You don't mean it. Well, I'll be right down to get you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bergen, and bring the ransom money with you.
Hey, Abbott!
What do you want, Costello?
Hello, Abbott. I understand that you're going to be the manager of the Lou Costello Junior Youth Foundation baseball team.
Yes, we just organized the thing.
Oh, you did?
Sure.
Well, I'd like to play on the team myself. You know, I know something about baseball.
Well, that would be accomplished.
Well, I'd like to know some of the guys' names on the team, so when I meet them on the street or in the ballpark, I'll be able to say hello to them.
Why, surely I'll introduce you to the boys. But you know, strange as it may seem, they give these ball players nowadays very peculiar names.
You mean funny names?
Nicknames, set names, like Dizzy Dean.
Spelled Daffy?
Daffy Dean.
And I'm their French cousin.
French cousin?
Gouffet.
Gouffet. Well, now, let's see. We have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
What silly name? I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You know the fellow's name?
Well, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
Have you got a first baseman?
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Now tell me who's on first.
That's right.
I want to know what's the guy's name on first.
No, what's on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. Now, we're not mentioning third. Let's get together.
How did I get on third base?
You have to mention his name.
If I mention a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third
base? No, who is playing first?
I'm not asking you who's on first.
Who is on third?
I'm asking you, what's the guy's name on third?
What is on second?
Who's on second?
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go. Back on third again.
But I can't change their name.
You got a first baseman?
Absolutely.
When you pay him off every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it. Why not? The man's entitled to it.
Who is?
Yes.
So who gets it?
Sure he does.
Look, the left field is named...
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's center field. Now, you know these players as well as I do.
You got a catcher?
Charlie.
The catcher's name?
Today.
Today, and tomorrow's pitching.
Now you've got it.
Now I've got it. I don't even... Look, we got us a couple of days on it.
I can't help that.
A couple of days.
Don't get excited, though.
Who's the next side?
Take it easy, take it easy.
You know, I'm a pretty good catcher myself.
Well, then tell me.
Now, I'll catch today myself.
All
I'm
right.
Catch. And tomorrow's pitching on a team.
Yes.
Now, tomorrow throws the ball and the guy up bunts the ball.
Yes.
Now, when he bunts the ball, me being a good catcher, I want to throw the guy out of first base, so I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now, that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's all you have to do.
Is to throw the ball to first base.
Yes.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
If I throw the ball to first base, somebody's got to get it.
Yes.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
Naturally?
Naturally.
Oh, so I throw the ball to naturally.
You do nothing of the kind. You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
That's what I said.
No, you didn't.
Did I throw the ball to naturally?
But you don't.
I throw it to who?
Naturally.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not working that way.
I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
You ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Well, say
same as you. I throw the ball to who?
That's
naturally.
Naturally.
Now, whoever it is drops the ball so the guy runs a second.
Yes.
Who picks up the ball and throws it to what? What throws it to, I don't know. I don't know, throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play.
Yes.
Another guy gets up and it's a long fly ball to be caught. Why? I don't know. He's on third and I don't give a darn.
What'd you say?
I said, I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
Duffy Tavern, where do you leave me, Gene? Archie, the manager's speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. The crowd, a lot of servicemen tonight. Yeah, the place is a regular separation center. Mm-hmm. Already I've had to separate three guys. By the way, you know who came in tonight? Lefty O'Rourke. Yeah, he's out of uniform now. Oh, Duffy, not on points, on parole. Say, by the way, speaking of getting out of jail, Eddie, the waiter, is thinking of leaving us. What do you mean, so what? Eddie's a very valuable man. Huh? Well, I admit he ain't very fast on his feet, but he's got a great knack for saving hash without that guilty expression on his face. Yeah. Well, I think he got an offer from Grogan's Grill. Well, don't worry. I'll talk him out of it, Duffy. You know the old line. Gratitude, chance for advancement, all we've done for him. Money ain't everything. Yeah, the old sucker pitch. Well, save me a fight. Don't I fall for it every time I ask for a raise? Well, just leave it to me, Duffy. I'll call you back. Eddie, there's a rumor around that you have had an offer from Grogan's Grill.
Uh-huh.
And the rumor also says that you're thinking of taking it.
Keep your eye on that rumor. It's got a future.
Well, Eddie, you're not serious. Where did you get this idea about leaving?
Just looked into my wallet, and there it was.
Again, this is madness. You can't leave here. Wait, you're a part of Duffy's Tavern.
Yeah, the part that goes over the cash register last.
Just a second now, Eddie. Is it that you feel that Duffy ain't done right by you?
Well, now you know yourself that when it comes to blowing that horn of plenty, he ain't no Harry James.
Eddie, leave us discuss this. I think if you're fair-minded, I can show you that you're making a mistake. Now answer me. Do you object to working 7 days a week?
Definitely.
And I suppose you object to putting in 15 hours a day?
Very definitely.
I suppose you also object to not being paid no salary?
Extremely definitely.
Eddie, I'm afraid you didn't enter this discussion with an open mind. Don't you realize there's more important things than money?
Yeah, but they all cost money. Look, Miss Archie, now I'd like to have a salary. I just can't get along on the tips I collect.
Now, don't hear me that, Eddie. I've seen nights when you walked out of here with enough quarters to choke a horse.
Or kill him with lead poisoning. Miss Arch, I just can't do it. In addition to the tips, I think I ought to have a dollar a week salary.
How does 35 cents hit you?
It don't even muss my hair.
All right, then go ahead and quit. It's hard to think that you take this attitude toward a man that's been your friend. Almost your brother. Through thick and thin. Laughter and tears.
Be sure to listen to Stella Dallas at this same time.
Look, you got a letter from your sister, Bessie.
Oh, Bessie.
What does she say? What does she say? Anything?
She's just wonderful
is
herself.
She?
But her
good.
Son, Willie.
Willie?
Willie,
he... that's the one with the high blood pressure.
Yeah, that's...
The one who sleeps on the floor to keep his blood pressure down.
Yeah, that's the one.
Smart kid.
Yes.
What about Willie?
Well, he broke his back.
I'm glad to hear that.
Huh?
Broke his back? How did he do that?
Well, on account of he's left-handed.
He broke his back because he's left-handed?
Yeah. Well, you see what happened was, he had a donut in his right-hand pocket, and when he went to take it out with his left hand,
he broke his back?
Yeah.
Well, you tell Bessie the next time to tell Willie that if he's got a donut in his right-hand pocket, to try to take it out with his right hand.
Yeah. But that's hard to do when you have your pants on backwards.
Had his pants on backwards.
Yes. Well, you see what happened was he had a suit of clothes with two pairs of pants, and he put one pair on frontwards and one pair on backwards.
So that he could go either way?
That's when the truck hit him.
The truck? What truck?
The truck that didn't have its light slit.
Why didn't the truck have its light slit?
Because he had...
Hold it. Did the guy in the truck have his pants on backwards, or did Willie have his pants on backwards?
Oh, George, you're trying to confuse me.
I'm confusing you?
Willie had his pants on backwards.
Oh, but the fellow in the truck, why didn't he have his light slit?
He didn't have to. It was daytime. My
Well,
down?
No. It's hard to follow. But if he had his pants on backwards, I mean, the fellow in the truck, if he had his lights lit, didn't he see Willie coming?
He didn't know it was Willie. He saw two pairs of pants coming toward him, and he drove between them.
Goodbye.
Boy, it's time to get up, but I think I'll go back to my dreams again. Boy, I had the silliest dream you did. Oh, goodness. I dreamed that the Russians couldn't get the plans for the atomic bomb, so they started out to find the most destructive thing in the world, the second most destructive. But my mummy wouldn't tell them how I was put together, you know. Oh, somebody's coming. Somebody's coming.
Junior, come on, dear. It's time to get up.
And I do mean...
All right, what a beautiful day. Wake up, Junior. All right, I'll see if you're playing possum. I'll throw a glass of ice water on you. Now, Junior, I have a busy day ahead. All right, I'll get the ice water.
Don't be afraid, folks. She won't do it. She won't do it.
Junior, do you hear me?
Nothing to tell you.
Okay, about. I'm going to throw it.
You'll never do it in a million years, won't you? You'll never do it. Man overboard! Man overboard! No, I'm going to tell on you.
You're going to tell
I'm
what?
I'm going to tell everybody that you was in the original cast of the old Shakespearean plays. And that you was... That old Shakespeare was your beau.
Now look, Virus X. I'm not that old.
Oh, you're not that old?
No.
Huh? Oh, no. Oh, bravo, Vernon, you were superb. You were...
Oh, yes, but I owe it all to my beloved William.
Don't you hit me,
Junior ready for breakfast?
If we're having it in a goldfish bowl, I is.
Oh, Junior, what happened?
Well, Nemo, you threw a whole glass of ice water on me, and I wasn't doing nothing.
Oh, Mother, now you shouldn't have.
No.
Why, the poor little child, a thing like that could cause him to grow up with a phobia against water. Oh, you poor child.
Oh, come now, kiddo. Let's not get carried away.
I'm sorry, Junior. It wasn't a nice joke.
Oh, I don't mind, Namor, doll. I don't mind. I shouldn't have blabbed on you. I love you so much. But you better hurry and dry me off because I'm not samphorized, you know. I might shrink. Or is there a T in that word? You know, I might shrink. I might become so widowed that you would never notice me running around the house, you know. And then when you vacuumed the rug, you would pick me up with a limp, you know, because I would be so widow bitty that I would wind up right in the vacuum bag with the rest of the trash, you know. And then you would take it out and you would empty it into a newspaper and then roll up the newspaper and then take it out in the back and raise up the door to the insinuator and throw me in there, then light a match to it and burn me up and you'll never know what...
Matter.
I scared me down.
Don't cry. You're all right.
Oh, what time it is? What time it is?
Wait,
what time it is?
It's about 8 o'clock.
Oh,
why?
Goodness me. I got to hurry. I promised to be over at Jim Hawkins' house at 9 o'clock, you know. I'm going to watch Jim Hawkins perform a mysterious trick, you know. He goes into the shed and he brings out eggs and he don't have no chickens.
Oh, you can't get eggs without chickens.
He does.
How?
He got ducks.
Please, tune up the violin. I will make the A on the piano. No, you are flat. Pull the string up a little tighter.
Okay.
Tighter. Ah!
Oh, darn it, the string broke.
Good, that's one down and three to go.
Well, you better put a new string on, Professor, while I open the window. It's kind of hot in here. There.
Hey, Stevie, kick it to me. And then I'll... Look, there's Mr. Benny in the window. Hello, Mr. Benny.
Hello, Joey. Hello, Stevie.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Hey, Mr. Benny, some of us kids are going to play football. Can you come out and play with us?
Oh, gee, I can't, Joey. I got to take my violin lesson. but I'll maybe a little later.
Okay, we'll wait for you.
Mr. Benny, you better close the window. It will be quieter.
Okay.
Here's your violin. We'll start with the piece I gave you last time. What was it again?
The glowworm.
Oui, monsieur, the glowworm. It is very pretty. Commence. Monsieur Benny. Monsieur Benny, it is such a small worm. Do not kill it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll take it again.
Monsieur Benny, huh? What are the blink blinks?
I'm stepping over the worm.
Monsieur Benny, leave the jokes to the comedians.
Yes, sir.
Perhaps we better limber up a little more with the exercises.
As you wish.
Play it softer with emotion. Dip your bow in Jergens lotion. Nero played while Rome was burning. Right now for a match I'm yearning. Now, Monsieur Benny, you are sounding worse than ever.
But, Professor, I've been practicing 2 hours every day.
How can you stand it?
What?
Now, look, that is enough of the exercises. Let us go back to the lesson. Commence. Now, Monsieur Benny... Monsieur Benny, please. The lesson, she is over. Will you please pay me my money now and don't keep me waiting like always?
Oh, yes, yes, Professor. How thoughtless of me. I'll go into my vault and get your money. Gee, I wonder who keeps it further underground, me or Fort Knox. I must ask him someday when I'm there to collect the rent.
Ever since that night you hung the lantern in the old North Church.
Oh, yes.
By the way, Mr. Benny, did that fellow on horseback ever make it?
Why?
I had $2 on him.
Well, excuse me a minute, Ed. I'm going to open the vault.
How much money are you putting in?
Oh, nothing. You know, I'm taking some out.
Oh? Sickness in the family?
No, everything's all right. Well, I'm going to open the vault now.
Shall I take a sleeping pill?
No. No, Ed, you can watch. It's all right. See, the combination is right to 45, left to 60, back to 15, and left.
I got here last night, so I had to sleep in the barracks for the men. You know what barracks are? 2,000 cots separated by individual crap games.
Boy, what rugged guys these Marines are. Today, one of them pulled off his shirt, handed me a tattoo needle, and said, okay, make with the autograph, boy. I shook hands with one Marine, and when I got my hand back, there were only four fingers. I said, what's the idea? He said, keep moving, bud. There's a 20% withholding tax. And these Marines stick together and have a wonderful esprit de corps. Esprit de corps, that's a French expression meaning see if she's got a sister. You know, during the time they stay in boot camp, these Marines have to forget completely about girls. In fact, at midnight, the sergeant goes through the barracks with a flashlight, waking up anybody that has a smile on his face. And these Marines, they're really tough. You should see the hair on their chest. There's one fellow here with so much hair in his chest, his captain insists on him getting into crap games. He's the only one in camp that can roll the dice and sweep the barracks at the same time. And listen, all this talk about sailors and Marines not getting along isn't true. Why, when I arrived in camp, they showed me a sailor who hadn't stole... I'll be back. Wait a minute. I'm here. Why, when I arrived in camp, they showed me a sailor who had stolen a Marine's girl 2 weeks ago, and the sailor was just sitting there in a chair smiling. Honestly, it was the best embalming job I ever saw.
And I received a wire this week from a congressman friend of mine who wants a copy of my plan to read into congressional record. Now, I feel pretty good about that. That's the highest praise that a humorist can have, is to get your stuff into congressional record. Just think, my name will be right in there alongside of Huey Long's and all those other big humorists. And you see, ordinarily, you got to work your way up as a humorist and first get into Congress. And then you work on up into the Senate, and then if your stuff is funny enough, it goes into the congressional record. But for an outsider to get in there as a humorist without having served his apprenticeship in either the House or the Senate, well, I'm not bragging, but by golly, I feel pretty big about it. Did I ever tell you, I don't know whether I did, did I ever tell you about the first time I ever had any of my stuff in that daily? Well, I'd written some fool thing, and it pertained to the bill that they was arguing, or that they was kidding about, rather. So some senator read my little article, and anything that a senator reads goes into the record. So, well, another senator rose and said, you know, and as they always do, if you've ever seen them, does the gentleman yield? They always say that. But they call each other gentlemen in there. But the tone that they put on the word, it would be more appropriate, you know, the way they can say gentlemen, you know what I mean? It'll sound right if he come right out and says, does the coyote from Maine yield? You know what I mean? So the coyote from Maine says, I yield to the polecat from Oregon. You know, but I must get back to my story. When this senator read my offering, the other senator said, after all the yielding was all over, and the other senator said, he says, I object to the remarks of a professional joke maker being put into the congressional record. You know, meaning me, see? Taking a dig at me, see? Well, he had me wrong. Compared to them, I'm an amateur. And the thing about my jokes is they don't hurt anybody. You can take them or leave them, you know what I mean? But with Congress, every time they make a joke, it's a law. You know?
Welcome for the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers. Say the secret word and divide $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. Mrs. Yvonne Weber and Mr. William McRide, eh? Mr. McRide, I'll call you Mac, eh?
Say everybody calls me Mac.
In other words, Mac is Jake with you, is that all right?
That's right.
Well, tell me, Jake, where are you from? Now, you're supposed to have an unusual occupation. What is it, Mac?
I sell clothing in Alaska.
You do, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, I guess they need it up there, eh? Well, tell us about your job. Who buys your clothes in Alaska?
Well, I sell most
I thought anybody was bare up there.
Well, I sell most professional men in Alaska. In fact, men in all walks of life. Uh-huh. I sell them the world's finest clothes, tailored by Richard McIntosh of Hollywood. In fact, most Alaskans have a dozen...
You forgot the address.
Didn't I say Richard McIntosh in Hollywood?
Yeah, but you didn't give the street address.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hollywood Boulevard.
You don't know the number, huh?
You allowed to advertise?
Oh, sure. We enjoy it. We don't want to discuss the DeSoto here. We're willing to... What we like to do is try to...
6912 Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, good. That's good.
Thank
what we try to do is sell other products here, you see. Because the sponsor gets real angry if we mention his product. How old are you, Mac?
I'm 52.
Well, you don't look it.
Thank you.
Look about 38. Mrs. Weber, I'll just call you Yvonne, eh?
That's right.
Where is your home?
I live in Los Angeles, California.
Do you mind if I ask you a personal question?
No, go right ahead.
You don't know what the question is. It's not the question you think it is that I'm going to ask you. I'm just going to ask you how old you are.
I'm 30.
30?
Mm-hmm.
You don't look it. You don't look a day over 25. You say you're married, huh?
That's right.
What does your husband do for a living?
He's a tread booker for Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company.
He's a what?
A tread booker.
Well, give him my congratulations. What is a tread broker?
I don't know.
Don't you know what your husband does? What does he tell you?
Nothing. He keeps away from my pots and pans, and I keep away from his tires.
Well, that's very shrewd, especially if you don't want to get run over. Are you handy around the kitchen, Yvonne?
Oh, I think I am.
What kind of dishes do you like to prepare?
Oh, I love to prepare tacos, enchiladas, tamales, frijoles. They're wonderful.
What is tacos?
Oh, tacos is a delicious tortilla that you put lots of beans and olives, meat, and you fold it and you eat it. Oh, it's wonderful.
And you eat and then you fold, is that it? Well, your luck, husband is a lucky man to have someone who can prepare all those tasty Mexican dishes. What is his favorite dish?
Sauerbraten.
What are you reading, dearie?
Wimple's bird book. He left it here last night. And you never read such a miss of mass information in your life. It's awful. Look at the title, even. American Birds and Their Habits. They can't even spell habits, you see?
Where?
There.
Oh, that word isn't habits, dearie. It's habitat.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I want to know is what their habits are. Who cares where they have their habits at? Any bird lover who reads this would throw eggs at the publisher.
What particular statement in that book are you quarreling with?
Well, listen to what it says about the feeding habitats of the pelican.
All right.
It says the pelican feeds occasionally on other things besides fish, but it definitely prefers marine life. Now, that is ridiculous.
Why is it?
There ain't a pelican living that could get in the Marines. Why? They even turned me down twice. That's why I say these people are like these...
Come in.
Oh, it's Wallace Wimple. Hi, Wimp.
Hello, Mr. Wimple.
Hello, folks.
We were just reading your bird book, Mr. Wimple. Hope you don't mind.
Oh, not at all, Mrs. McGee. I'm glad to know where I left it. I'm afraid I was rather upset when I left here last night.
Yeah, we noticed that, Wimp.
Why? Did I do something?
Well, we had the radio turned on to a political rally.
Oh, I remember now. A deep voice snarled, Wallace is going to get the beating of his life. And I went right out the window.
Yes.
Silly me.
Say, how are you getting along these days with her, Wimp?
You mean Sweetie Face? My big old wife?
Yes.
Oh, about as usual. We had a little tiff yesterday. And believe me, Sweetie Face puts up a tough tiff.
What was it about, Wimp?
Oh, it was nothing, really.
Nothing?
She came back from downtown with a new hairdo and asked me how I liked it.
Then?
I told her. She ignored the compliments on my lips and tried to slap the expression off my face. When I ducked, she... Oh, speaking of ducks, did you enjoy reading my bird book?
Yeah.
No.
What?
Confidentially, Wimp, this book is fuller of tripe than the inside of a cow.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Mr. McGee. This is the finest bird book there is. This is the authority on birds. It tells about the dodo bird disappearing, the migratory habits of the snow goose, how the passenger pigeon became extinct.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. What was that again?
You mean about the passenger pigeon?
Yeah, that.
Well, it says on page 49, and I quote, "The passenger pigeon, which once swarmed over the North American continent by the millions, has become completely extinct. The last known passenger pigeon died in the Cincinnati Zoo in 1914.
Exactly. That's just what I mean. That is a falsehood.
What do you mean, McGee?
I mean I saw a passenger pigeon today. I've seen one every day for weeks.
Oh, my goodness, Mr. McGee. If what you say is true...
And it is.
If you actually saw a real-life passenger pigeon, why any zoo in the country would pay thousands for one.
You mean thousands of money?
Thousands of dollars for one pigeon, Mr. Wimple? Are you sure it was a passenger pigeon, McGee?
Why, sure I'm sure it was a passenger pigeon. Hey, if there was that kind of dough, I could trap that thing and saw it for... Oh, my gosh. Where's my hammer? Where's my tool? I gotta make a trap. Where's my screwdriver?
I don't know, Mr. McGee. I'm just a guest here.
Oh, I know. I left it right here in the hall closet.
Now, don't open that door, McGee.
Why can't you just leave me alone when I feel like playing the piano?
Because I want to play, too.
You don't know how to play.
I can lay.
Oh. Do you really mean that, Snooks?
Yes, Dad.
Because nothing would please me more. And if I teach you to play, will you practice faithfully every day?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dad. Mm-hmm. Sit here beside me. Who knows? You may turn out to be a child prodigy. Now, before I give you the first lesson, suppose we try to find out just how much natural ability you have.
How?
Well, see if you can pick out a tune. Whatever music comes into your head.
All right. Bye, baby.
All right, all right. Bye. We can forget the prodigy business right now.
Shall I play some more, Daddy?
No. Pay a little attention, Sis. There are 7 major musical notes in the scale.
Where's the scale?
Right here. Now listen. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A. See this note? That's A.
A what?
A nothing. A is just its name. Now what comes after A?
B.
And what comes after E?
F.
Good. What comes after G?
A.
No. After G, you start all over again with A. Now. Hey, what note is this?
A.
No! Didn't you hear me singing it? It's A.
Well, it sounded like A.
So much for the notes.
Why are some of the keys black?
Well, all the notes on the piano are divided into flats, sharps, and natural. Now, this black key here is flat.
Don't look flat to me.
What do you mean, it don't look flat?
Well, it's raised up.
Yes, it's raised, but it happens to be flat.
The white key looks flatter.
Snooks, believe me, the black raised key is flat, and the white flat key is sharp.
Do you feel all right, Daddy?
Yes. Look, I'll show you that the white key is sharp. Just hit it.
No.
Why not?
It'll cut my finger.
How can it cut your finger? It's perfectly flat.
But you just said it was sharp.
It is sharp. I ain't flat. Look, it's a harmless piece of ivory.
Ivory soap?
Snooks, could it be that you don't know what ivory is? Could that be?
Could be.
Well, ivory comes from an elephant's tusk.
What's a tusk?
A tusk is the thing in an elephant's mouth.
What does it look like?
It's long and sharp.
I'm going to hit it.
That suits me fine. The lesson is over.
Oh, ain't I going to play the piano?
No. Just stand over there and watch me. I'll try to regain my sanity with a little music.
What are you going to play?
Oh, maybe a bit of Debussy.
He's funny, Daddy. I saw him in a picture once.
You saw Debussy in a picture?
Uh-huh. Debussy Field.
For Pete's sake.
Hello, Eddie. Gosh, I rushed over as soon as you phoned me. What's all the excitement?
Harry, I'm thrilled.
What?
Life magazine is sending over a photographer to take pictures of me.
Oh.
They're going to give me a two-page spread. Isn't that fine, Harry? Think of it. Little Eddie Cantor in life.
Yeah, it would be better if there was a little life in Eddie Cantor. But, Eddie, listen. Now, come here. Why did Life magazine decide to take pictures of you at this time?
Well, they heard that one of the studios is after me to do my life story.
You?
What's the matter, Harry? Why are you so surprised? Well, look at him. He can go, you, yes, me. After all, they took the life of Cole Porter and put it on a screen. They took the life of Al Jolson and put it on a screen. Don't you think they should take my life?
Yeah, I'm in favor of it.
I'm not finished yet.
That's what you think.
Oh, Harry, don't be so smart.
I'm sorry.
Already I'm working on the script of my life. The early days, my meeting with Ida.
Yeah, might be interesting at that. Have you got a scene showing how you proposed to Ida?
Who proposed, Harry?
You didn't propose?
At her house one night, I kneeled down to tie my shoelace, and before I could straighten up, she said, I do. Her father borrowed $10, and her mother moved into my apartment.
Well, how long ago was that?
35 years ago, and the minute he pays back the 10, out they go.
35 years. Listen, wasn't that about the time Al Jolson became a star?
Yes, Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And you know something?
What?
He had a great influence on my career. I idolized Jolson. When he sang in my Merry Oldsmobile, I got myself a car. And when he sang April Showers, I went out and got rubbers and a raincoat. And when he sang California, Here I Come, I got a home in Beverly Hills.
Yeah. Didn't he used to sing Sonny Boy?
Yeah, but Ida wasn't listening.
Well, listen, Eddie, if Jolson had such an influence on you, how is it you never use him on your radio program?
Oh, well, what's the sense of getting Jolson? We both do the same thing, sing, tell jokes.
Yeah, I know, but Jolson has a style of his own. For instance, when he sings, he gets down on his knees.
I can get down on my knees.
Yeah, Jolson can get up. Look, if that studio is going to make the story of your life, they better hurry. You're not getting any younger, Eddie.
Well, look, Harry, always remember a man's age is determined by the condition he's in. The years have nothing to do with it. A man is as young as he feels.
Mm-hmm. Eddie, how do you feel?
I want to lie down a while.
Listen, Eddie, I don't want to argue with you about it, but I happen to know that you've already celebrated your 35th anniversary in show business.
All right. So I'm a little over 35. You know, when I started in the Ziegfeld Follies, I was only 3 months old, Harry. 3 months old I was when I was...
How could you be on the stage at that age? You were still in diapers.
No, for the Ziegfeld Follies. Do you need more?
Hello? Yes? Just fine, thanks. How do I like what? Oh, the weather. Well, it's too cold for me. I guess I'm a blue blood or something, but I can't stand the cold anymore. When we were in Florida last month, it was keen. You knew we were in Florida, didn't you? You didn't? Oh, yes, we were there for 2 weeks. Well, sure, I wanted to stay longer, but it was just like pulling teeth from a baby to get Mr. H to stay 2 weeks. What? Oh, I sure did. I was on the beach every day. Oh, you should see my arms and my back and my... What'd you say? Oh, I was careful. I rubbed all over with olive oil. I was black as the ace of spades. Mr. A says I was black as the eight ball. He said he was behind
me. Going on there. Who are you talking to, Jane?
What? Oh, hold the phone a minute, please. What did you say, dear? Well,
who are you talking to there?
Oh, hello. Who is this, please?
Oh, isn't that awful, talking all that.
Oh, Mr. Anderson. Well, I
didn't
know.
Anderson, great. Get off of that phone. Let me have that.
Just a minute. Mr. Ace wants to speak to you.
Jane, how can you talk to my boss like that? He'll think it... Do you talk to everybody that calls up without finding out who they are?
Well, I couldn't be impolite, and he kept asking me how I like the weather.
Yes, but don't you ask who you're talking to before you...
Well, I just happened to forget this once. What difference does it make?
The senator's home.
I'll knock and see what happens.
Somebody, I say, somebody knock.
Yes, I know.
Claghorn's the name. Senator Claghorn, that is.
I know you're from the South.
When I'm in New York, I'll never go to the Yankee Stadium.
Now, wait.
To see the Giants unless the South Pole pitches.
Well, look,
I refuse to watch the Dodgers unless Dixie Walker's playing.
Now, wait a minute.
Stop interrupting. Where's your manners?
Manners, I have no manners.
Try listening. You might learn something.
Listen, all I'll ever learn.
Your tongue's wagging like a blind dog's tail in a meat market.
You're winded, hey?
Just sucking in some air, son.
Well, leave a little. I'm breathing, too, you know. Tell me, Senator, what is Washington doing about coal prevention?
The Senate reconvened just in time.
Yeah?
I was glad to see Senator Aiken back. Aiken back, that's a joke.
I know it's a joke.
That was a funny fact,
I wouldn't.
That was a Supreme Court freak.
Listen, you don't know what it is.
I keep talking to him and you just sidestep him.
Well, look at
him.
Now, wait.
Say, you're a regular fast track. Fact, that is.
Now, you wait. Tell me. Cool off. Now, just a second. Do you have a favorite cure for a cold?
I caught a cold last week.
Yeah.
Like to ruin my filibuster.
Ruin your filibuster? What did you do?
I took an old southern remedy, son. I drank down 2 buckets of hot mint julep.
You drank 2 buckets of hot mint juleps and you still held the floor?
Held the floor? Son, I couldn't get up off it.
Well, I wonder how Titus Moody is doing this evening.
Howdy, Bob.
Say, Mr. Moody, you look a little tired.
I know. I was up all night. Couldn't get a wink.
You didn't sleep a wink?
No, no, it wasn't that. Somebody stole my tiddly.
Well, Mr. Moody, tell me, has this cold epidemic hit your farm?
My wife had a nasty cold.
Did you call the doctor?
Yeah. Called Aunt Quack, give her sulfur and molasses. Put in too much sulfur.
Well, how can you tell he gave her too much sulfur?
When my wife sits in the dark, she glows.
Well, are you doing anything about it?
Why, Senator Claghorn, a foreigner next door, he sent me over a bucket of hot mint julep.
For your wife?
No, no, for me. Tonight, I'm getting lit up to keep her company. Come on, Bob.
Looks as though Titus is going to get lit up on his weekend. Well, let's see what a knock here will start.
No.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You're expecting maybe two la-lula-lula banquet.
Tell me, Mrs. N., have you had any colds in your house?
My husband, Pierre, is sick.
Oh, really?
They are maybe sending him to a clinic. The Meyer brothers.
Oh, the Meyer brothers. But didn't Pierre try any cold remedies?
Every day is a new remedy. First, he is bringing home fruit to drinking fruit juices.
What kind?
Oranges, grapefruit, tambourines.
Well, how long did he drink the fruit juices?
One day. Then Pierre is opening up the window and throwing out the fruit.
Oh, he had another remedy?
Vitamins, some vegetables.
Oh, good.
He's bringing home carrots, sprinkle beans, and rutabagos.
Well, how long did he try vitamins?
One day.
One day again.
Pierre is opening up the window and throwing out the vegetables.
He had yet another remedy?
Absolute rest. You're staying in bed.
Uh-huh.
I am bringing meals. I'm bringing pills. I'm bringing hot water bottles.
Well, how long did this last?
One day.
And then?
I am opening up the window and throwing out Pierre.